Welcome everybody to the Primal King Podcast. I am Derek Wilson and this is episode number 2. All right, so today we are going to continue on to part 2 of our 3-part series titled How Bad Do You Want It? So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. Welcome back, everybody, to the Primal King Podcast. Again, I am Derek Wilson, and we are going to continue on today on our 3-part series. This is part 2 of that, and again, this is titled, How Bad Do You Want It? So, whenever we get to a point in life to where we're trying to figure out what we want, how committed are we to actually doing that, there comes a lot of decisions along with that. In fact, in my years of working with different entrepreneurs and different businesses, being in kind of the background of sales, you know, I've helped people with a lot of really, really tough decisions. Okay, a lot of times that comes down to whether or not to invest in coaching programs or invest money into their businesses in different ways. And these decisions, there's always so many things that are unintended around any of these big decisions, right? Those big decisions maybe in your life could be relationship decisions, whether to get married or not. It could be financial decisions. Do we invest in this? Do we continue down this, working this job that we know is never going to get us ahead, but it's comfortable? And then when you decide to actually do something different, kind of the fear and the, you know, just the anxiety that can come with that. And so what I want you to understand is if you want something bad enough, you will make it happen. Okay. And I preface all of this because I want to dive back into the story as to why the Primal King started. And hopefully, again, this can provide you some value. So in the last episode, if you would listen to that, if you haven't, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the first episode because these are all going to be stacked on top of each other, the first 3. And if you missed the first one, obviously, you're going to have a hard time knowing what's going on right now. All right. So again, having said that, where we were at this point, this is roughly about 2 years ago. Actually, just about 2 years ago. And so what had happened, just to kind of catch everybody up, is, after my dad died, we went through a really bitter time with my stepmom, okay? And I don't want to get into all of the details of that, but really what it kind of came down to is that money can change people and grief can change people. And there's a lot of things that can really happen when you lose someone suddenly. And again, there's probably some of you out there listening that have gone through similar things, whether in fact that was actually money problems or dispute over property or finances and all of that stuff without having a will. Cause again, my dad didn't have a will. And so a lot of these decisions weren't made in advance. They kind of had to be made up by us. And at that point, my stepmom, she just wanted out of the ranch. She wanted to get her money. And so that's kind of where I want to pick up the story, because I feel like when you want something bad enough, you're willing to do what it takes in order to make it happen. And I've heard over the years so many times people say, well, I can't do that, Derek, because I don't have the money to do it. I can't do that because, you know, I don't have the resources, or I don't have the intelligence, or I don't have the training, whatever it may be. And the truth is that all of that is BS. It really is, right? Like, I get certain circumstances, maybe you really don't have money, but the truth is that if you wanted to get money for something, you lack resourcefulness, you don't lack resources, right? You have to be more resourceful. Maybe you don't have the money sitting in your bank account right now to make that investment or to, take that vacation that could potentially save a marriage. Like, you could find it. You could get it. You could, sell something in your garage, right? Like, there's always ways to make things happen if you want it bad enough. So it was, I'll never forget the day. I will remember this as long as I live. So kind of leading up to this point, again, going back a little over 2 years ago, is it was kind of hot and cold. Me and my older sister, we were communicating back and forth through lawyers and even through emails, mostly to my stepmom, hoping that she would be more reasonable. Because when my dad first died, she She said she didn't want anything. She just wanted to be out of this. And then everything changed from there. Again, without going into all of the minute details that really aren't important, I'm going to save you from that. So anyways, we'd been going back and forth, and she had said, you know, by December or January of that year, she at least wanted to have an agreement in place. So this is going back to 2017, again, a little over 2 years ago. And she wanted to have an agreement in place by December or January as far as us buying her out. And then all of a sudden, I actually stopped by her house to talk with her. I had my wife and our two, at that point, like newborn babies. We have twin girls who at the recording of this podcast are 2 years old. So literally they were, 3 months old, 4 months old at this time. First time that she had ever seen him as well. And so anyways, we stopped by her house because what I was wanting to do, because I knew that she wanted to have an agreement in place by December or January. So I figure, you know what, middle of October, that gives us plenty of time to kind of hash out an agreement. And so again, it was October 16th of 2017, coming up on 2 years ago, me and my wife and our two young kids, we have two older kids, but our two young kids, our two babies at that time were with us. And we stopped by the house and, you know, say hello and everything else. And things had kind of been rocky, right? Like it just, like things were off. The relationship at that point, it was, I wouldn't say it was terrible, but it definitely wasn't good. It was almost just a business relationship at that point. And to keep in mind as well, my stepmom had married my dad about 6 months previous to him dying, but they were together, I think, for around 9 or 10 years. And actually, I had grown up with her sons, essentially viewed her sons as my brothers because we were best friends growing up. I had known this woman for, you know, over 30 years at that point. And again, like her two sons growing up were two of my very best friends. And so all of this was weird, right? Like it was weird because she had ended up, you know, single, and my dad ended up single, and they ended up getting together. And I actually think they were very good for each other. They both loved to drive around in the mountains and drink beer, and they just seemed to have a pretty good relationship. But after he died, and I think a lot of it, and again, I'm not trying to go all psychologist, but I think a lot of it was the grief that she was going through. She didn't know how to process it. And the best thing that she knew that she could do is to be angry, right? And that's a whole other topic, again, for another podcast issue, you know, dealing with grief and everything else. But I think in her way, the way that she was processing the loss of my dad, the stress of the ranch, all of this stuff culminating was to be angry and to blame people for that. You know, if this would have happened, he would still be alive. If these people would have moved, like just all this type of stuff, right? So anyways, because of that, we kind of had a rocky relationship at that point. So me and my wife stopped by, and I literally felt like I was going there kind of hat in hand, like just kind of almost, you know, wanting to figure out something to where she would be taken care of. We could keep the ranch in our family because, again, this ranch dates back to pre-1890 being in my family. You know, generations and generations have lived here and have ranched here and been good stewards of this land and everything else. And so my main focus was to keep this land and the family because I have kids and I want them to enjoy it the way that I've been able to. And so that was my main goal. So we go in and we sit down and we start talking, you know, kind of about some of these things and, you know, what the best way to move forward is and all of that. And I'll never forget, she was holding one of the babies and she was sitting there kind of bouncing her on her knee. And I said, Drew, you know, is there any way we could figure out how to do kind of like an, you know, almost like an owner carry for your half of this ranch? And, you know, is there a way that maybe we could start with a down payment and then just pay you every month? That way you could make sure your bills are taken care of and, you know, trying to figure out a way to, to where it would be a win-win situation, to where she would be taken care of. And then we also would be able to afford that because the truth is that the amount of money that she wanted, I mean, it was close to $1 million. And I had a very, very good job at that time. But I mean, when you're getting ready to go, you know, close to $1 million in the hole, like you better have a really good job and you better have some things figured out in order to absorb that. So again, I was trying to kind of come into this as a way to make this a win-win situation. And she's sitting there bouncing my baby and she stops bouncing because I said, you know, is there a way we can do this and this? And she stopped and she looked at me and it was like the most like cold stare. Like, I don't even know how else to put it. Because again, like I said, I've known this woman for over 30 years and she's helped me out, you know, growing up, like playing with her kids and everything else. Like, so when she looked at me, it was just like this cold stare. And I'll never forget, she said, she looked directly in my eyes and she said, "No, I want my money and I want it now. If I don't have my money by November 1st, I'm going to start selling." And I don't know if you've ever had one of those situations in your life to where you're almost like you feel like you're out of body, right? Like, I don't know how else to explain it. And I think that's why it's burned in my mind so much, is because I went into there so hopeful that we would be able to figure out some type of a deal, that we would be able to save the ranch, make sure she was taken care of, but also not have to completely put myself and my family in some type of financial jeopardy. Like, I thought, I really truly felt there was a way that this could be a win-win situation. And again, like, I come from a sales background of sales. And so, like, I went into this thinking like, okay, how can we actually make this a win-win? Not just for myself, but for her as well. My dad loved this woman. Even if she's been a little crazy, like, I want to make sure she's taken care of, because I know that's what my dad would have wanted. And when she said that, I remember, like, it took me so far back that I don't even know how much time elapsed until, like, I said something else. And I mean, finally, really, like, the only thing I could say is, like, you know, is there anything else that we can do other than having to come up with all of that money? And she said, "No, I want my money. I want to be done with this. I want my money. I want out." And I remember, just as quickly as I could at that point, grabbing our babies, getting my wife and being like, "Okay, like, we're out of here. There's nothing left." I mean, this was not a negotiation. This was not a discussion. This was, here's how it is. And because she was the executor of the estate, she would have to have split the ranch, whatever the ranch sold for, with me and my older sister. But we didn't want money. Like, neither me or my sister, neither one of us wanted the money from the ranch. We wanted to keep the land and the family. And so it really didn't matter if we were going to get money. And by the time it was all split up and taxed, I mean, really, it wouldn't have been very much money anyways. So the value of what we were losing in the land was so much greater than any of the money that we could have got by the time, again, you cut it in half, you cut it in quarters, you know, take out all the taxes and all the other things. Like, it wasn't even close to being worth it. And even if it would have been a ton of money, we wouldn't have sold it anyways. But now I was in this serious predicament that my wife wasn't working at the time. I was a sole breadwinner for our family. And so I was like, this is all on me. My sister, she wanted to help in any way she could. Financially, she just wasn't really able to contribute a whole lot at that point. And so there was just all of this stress that came down. And I remember pulling out of her driveway, you know, after we got the babies loaded up and everything else. And like, I'm not a crier at all. And I don't think I actually did cry. But like, that's the closest I'd been to like just literally breaking down, like, since losing my dad, because I was like, you know, it's bad enough that my dad's gone. And now I have to see the entire legacy that he built, that he worked his whole life for, go away for some money, right? Like, for some money. And like, I'll tell you, I'm as much about making money and having a great life as anybody else out there. But I feel like I'm one of those people that can keep all of that in perspective when it comes to the truly important stuff, when it comes to your family, when it comes to your lifestyle. Again, like, the entire Primal King podcast and the Primal King movement is built around liberation, lifestyle, and legacy. And it was like all of those things that I have built this movement along were up in the air. And so what ironically ended up happening is we had a dinner scheduled with a guy who owns property right next to us. And he's one of the wealthiest people in the state of Idaho. He's the heir to a major grocery chain. I mean, probably don't need to throw out names, but anyways, so we had a meeting with him, and this was all pre-scheduled before we even had gone and met with my stepmom. And so we left my stepmom's house. And like I said, I'm just like, I don't know what to do. Like, I remember just shaking. I was so mad. Because I was just like, it doesn't have to be like this. Like, that's what kept going. Like, we don't have to sell. We don't, you know, but it was out of my control. So instantly it was like, okay, we're going to go meet with this guy and we'll see if we can work out a deal to where maybe we can get the money from him. Maybe we sell a chunk of the ranch in order to save the rest of it. You know, that way it's not all completely gone. And so we go and we have this dinner with this guy, and he seems to be the nicest guy ever. And, you know, we sit down, we have dinner with me and my wife and the babies and, you know, him and his son and a couple of his workers and everything else. And the dinner seems to be going great. And, you know, he wants to buy, because our ranch, we have two separate parcels that are a couple of miles apart. One's 1,400 acres, the other's 1,200 acres. And both of these parcels allow you to get to public ground that is pretty much not accessible unless you go through our property. So they are both very desirable pieces of ground, not just for the acreage that we have, but also the access that you get because of this private land. So anyways, he wants our, what we kind of call our home portion of the ranch. That's where it was homesteaded. And that's the 1,400 acre chunk that borders him. Well, that's the one piece that I'm just not willing to sell. I mean, this is where literally my great-great-grandpa homesteaded. My great-grandparents lived here. They were married for over 60 years living in this house. You know, my dad lived here after they were gone. And so it was like, I we can't lose that. So we ended up kind of striking a handshake deal that we would sell him the other portion of it. And we would be able to take that money and pay out my stepmom. And we would at least kind of keep the home base, you know, the homesteaded portion of our ranch. And so we leave there, and it went from like, you know, hopeful and then meeting with my stepmom to absolutely devastated to leaving the dinner and just being like on cloud nine and being like, okay, perfect. Like, we can't save the whole ranch, but like, we've got this deal worked out. You know, we're going to talk to him in a couple of days. Cause at this point we were 14 days away from when she said she was going to start selling the ranch. Again, it's October 16th. She says November 1st. So it's like, okay, cool. Like, we might've just saved this whole thing. I remember leaving the dinner thinking, damn, I'm the best closer in the world, right? I just saved this whole thing. Yes, it's not the entire ranch, but man, we got it. So a couple days goes by, and I don't hear from him. And so finally, because all of this happened on a Saturday. So finally, it was Wednesday, and I was like, I better give these guys a call. And so I call them, and they're like, yeah, well, you know, we're not really interested in that parcel. We were interested in the homesteaded portion of it, but you know, we're still kind of looking at things and blah, blah, blah. And so I got off the phone. I'm like, what the heck? Like, you know, I left there thinking that we had a deal in place, right? Like, I left there thinking that we had saved the ranch. Like, everything was good. And then to my stepmom's credit, she did call me and she said, you know, hey, these people who we had had the dinner with, they just called and asked if they could buy your corporate shares, you and your sister's corporate shares, and essentially take over half of the ranch, and then asked if I would be willing to sell my shares as well. And obviously she couldn't do that because she didn't control our shares of the corporation, which holds the land. Hopefully that's not too confusing. So she couldn't sell our shares, but what it showed me was they were essentially trying to backdoor us after saying that we had a deal in place. And so I'm just sitting there thinking, like, this is unbelievable. You know, I've wasted the next 3 or 4 days waiting for them to supposedly basically come through with the money. Like, I thought the deal was done because I'm kind of an old school guy, I guess. Like, you shake hands and you agree to something, I don't care if it's on paper or not. Like, and I get, like, in the world now, like, hey, I fully understand this now. But I'm always kind of like, if you shake my hand, you look me in the eye and you say that we have something in place, I'm going to go ahead and assume that we have something in place. And that's just not how this worked. And so when she called me and she told me that, I was just like, oh my gosh. So not only are they not going to buy the property that they agreed to, you know, have us be able to get the money, save the ranch, but they're actually trying to go around us and take the whole damn thing. I was like, this is crazy. This is crazy. So then the roller coaster is like back down, right? Because again, it's like, oh, it's low. We're losing the ranch. My stepmom wants everything sold to, oh, okay, we got money. We can at least save half of it too. These guys are essentially trying to screw us. And so then it's like, okay, now what? Like, I mean, there was a moment, like, I will tell you straight up that it was like, I remember having the conversation with my wife that night after finding all that out, just being like, you know, it's over. Like, there's no way we can get money. There's no way that in a week and a half, we can come up with close to $1 million. And then even if we do, how are we going to make the payment? I mean, the payment on that is going to be so big. And, you know, we had just like a year before that purchased our dream home. We had 7 acres and we had the, you know, 3,000 square foot plus house and the, you know, the granite countertops and the granite walk-in shower and the basement with a man cave. And I had my 75-inch screen TV down there. Like, literally everything that I thought that I wanted, I had at that moment. And so I'm sitting there, and this kind of comes back to the theme of this series, is how bad do you want it, right? Because the truth is that I could do it, but it would change everything. Like I could save the ranch, if you want to call it that. I could figure out how to come up with the money if I really wanted to, but did I really want to? Because that would require me making some very, very hard choices. So after some thinking, it was like, yeah, I want to do it. I remember talking to my wife about it, talking to my sister about it, and being like, you know what? Like, I can make this happen. And so the next day, I remember going into my office, and I had, through my attorney, had been hooked up with a hard money lender. Now, anybody who's ever borrowed money from a hard money lender, they screw you, right? And you know you're getting screwed if you take hard money. They know they're screwing you when they give you hard money. But it's for these types of circumstances, because I talk to a bank and they're like, yeah, if we're going to get money, it's going to be 4 to 5 months, maybe even 6 months. By the time we have to redo an appraisal, and on parcels that big, it's hard to get comps. And so it was like, I had no other option. I mean, I don't have a family member with, you know, close to $1 million just kind of laying around that I could say, hey, can you kick me some money here? So that was the really the only option. And so I talked to the guy and I was like, yeah, we'll get you the money. He said, we'll have it there in 2 days. You know, they did my credit check, and luckily, again, like I had a good job and all that. And so, yeah, I was like, okay, sweet. And so like, what are the terms of this? And it's like, well, you know, it's going to be, I think it's like 12% interest. And, you know, there's a $32,000 fee. There's no prepayment penalty though. So you got that going for you. And I'm just like, awesome. Right. And they're like, yeah, and by the way, your monthly payment's going to be $7,200 per month, because it's essentially like a 2-year loan that has to be paid off in 2 years with that hard money loan. And so I'm like, okay, so I've got 12% interest. I've got a $32,000 fee just for borrowing the money. And then I'm going to have to figure out how to pay $7,200 per month. Wow. That's a commitment, you know? And so again, I was just like, what do I do? Can I do it? Maybe. Like, could we make that land payment? Maybe. I don't know. It's going to basically take everything that we have to do it, just to kind of ride it along for a few months until we can get it refinanced. And again, it came back to asking myself that question, like, how bad do I want this? How bad do I actually want the ranch to stay in the family? How bad do I want to eventually be able to move there, I'm thinking at this time? So all of these questions are going through my head, and it really challenged me to figure out, what did I want? Did I actually want all of that? Or did that just seem like a good idea, kind of outside looking in, right? Like, I mean, who out there wouldn't want to go and live in the mountains? That's absolutely beautiful, and you know, have all this land and this privacy and this freedom. Of course, everybody wants that, until you start understanding what it's going to take in order to achieve that, right? Do I want to spend every single penny that I'm making on my job to be able to save a ranch? You know, do I want to jeopardize everything that my family and myself has worked for so hard? Because if this thing goes sideways, we're not just losing the ranch. Now we're losing my house. You know what I mean? Like, now we're losing the vehicles that we have, you know, worked so hard to accumulate, nice vehicles and all of that stuff. And it's like, this now is bigger than the ranch. As soon as I sign on the dotted line here, again, we're not just worried about losing a ranch and maybe getting a little bit of money when it's all said and done. It's like, this is the type of stuff that people go bankrupt over and lose homes over and everything else. Like, yeah, I have a good job at that point, but what if I get fired? What if something changes? What if, I mean, who knows what can happen, right? There's a million different things that could happen. But the one thing I came back to is that I did decide that this is what I wanted. This was the lifestyle that I wanted for my family. I wanted my kids to grow up this way. And so I made a commitment at that point that we'll do whatever it takes. And I remember, again, like, luckily I have an amazing wife, because I know that there's a lot of spouses out there, husbands or wives, that would have been like, you're crazy. Just let the ranch go. You're going to end up with, you know, probably $200,000 when it's all said and done. And that could go for a lot of things. That can go for college funds for our kids. That could go for paying off our house or whatever, right? Like, there's a lot of spouses who would have said, just take the money But my wife knew how important this was. We've been together for 17 years at this point. She knew how much this meant to me, and she was fully on board. And that was huge because there were days where, man, I was waffling. I was like, do I do it? Do I not? And then finally, I was like, okay, we're going to do it. So I called the bank and got everything lined up to get that started because we needed a long-term financing option. But in the meantime, I went, and I'll never forget, it was the weirdest thing because I never actually met anybody in person to get all of that money. It was all emailed to me and it was signed and, you know, sent back and all of this stuff. And I'm like, wow, that was so easy to get that much money. But then I'm like, yeah, because they're making a ton of money. Oh, and I'll never forget the guy that I talked to, the lender or the whatever he was, the go-between broker or whatever. And he was like, oh, and good news too. I actually got your interest rate from 12% down to 10.5%. And I was like, man, that is so awesome. And I guess on that amount of money, that probably is significant. But again, I just remember thinking like, okay, great. Like you saved me a point and a half of interest and you just made 32 grand, you know, at least as soon as I signed my name on that paper. So anyways, we went ahead, we got the hard money loan and we went through the process of buying out my stepmom and getting that all taken care of. And at that point, she was completely out of the picture, right? I mean, we had paid her off. Everything was separated. We had the ranch. But now is when the fun happens. So I guess I hope you guys stick around because I'm going to wrap up episode 2 here, part 2 of the How Bad Do You Want It series, because it was one thing getting the money. It was, you know, kind of another thing getting the ranch, but it's like, now what do we do with it? Now that we have it, we have to figure out how to make it pay for itself. Are we going to be able to afford to keep all of that and keep our dream home? And yeah, so I'm going to hop into that in the next episode. So again, guys, I hope you're enjoying this. I hope you're getting some value as far as how bad you want it. This is all, again, my story, and I'm going to continue on that next episode. After that, we're going to get into some different episodes, some interviews and everything else, but I feel like I would be doing you a disservice if you didn't understand how this whole podcast was started, the reason behind it, the kind of the lessons and everything else that we've had to learn, not just myself personally, but as a family, to be able to make it through all of this. So again, thanks for joining me on the podcast, and we'll see you all next time. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the Primal King Podcast. There is one thing that I will ask you to do. Please make sure that you are subscribed to the show so you get all of the new episodes coming out. Also, please make sure that you rate and review the show so that way other people can have access to this podcast, to this content, and this community. Again, thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time.